The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
35, which means I'll finish at 46. Okay? You good?
Good.
Right. Now let's go to our regular weekly slot on a Tuesday on the couch. And this week we're going to discuss stroke prevention. And I'm delighted to be joined in studio by thoracic and lung transplant consultant operating both at the Beacon Hospital and at the Mater Hospital, Donna Eaton. Donna, welcome to the programme. And just remember, if you have a medical query on any matter, do email us at thehardshoulder@newstalk.com or text us at 53106 and we may feature your particular concern on a given Tuesday. First of all, what is a stroke?
So, thanks, Ivan. A stroke is when usually due to a clot, but there's an interruption of the blood supply to a part of the brain. And then that part of the brain gets damaged because of lack of blood supply to it. And the amount of effect that that has depends on what part of the brain was affected by it and then how big the stroke is.
So it's nothing to do with your heart, it's to do with your brain.
It's your brain and the damages to the brain. There can be conditions of the heart that can cause you to be at a higher risk of getting a stroke.
And when you say a clot, what is a clot? Is it a coagulation of blood?
Yes. So there's a number of conditions that can make you more at risk of having a clot with it. And one of those in particular, as you're mentioning the heart, is atrial fibrillation. So with atrial fibrillation, your blood tends to form clots because the heart isn't beating in a regular, controlled manner. And those clots can be released from the heart and go off into the circulation. And if they go into the brain, then they can cause a stroke.
Now, I've met people who've had a stroke, and my understanding, and we'll go through the symptoms and we'll go through the cause and everything, but there are two types of strokes that I've come across. One, whereby they're paralysed, I don't know whether it's down the left side or the right side, but it is pretty irrecoverable from. And there's another side, a different type of stroke, which actually people can make with the right type of physiotherapy and so on, a full recovery from. Could you explain to me different elements of strokes?
So in terms of the types of stroke, there's two big categories of stroke, I guess, and one's a full-blown stroke, if you like, which will lead to a permanent disability.
Another
type, yes, it can kill you, and up to 20% of patients that get a stroke could die from it.
And what do you call that type, a really serious one?
So that's really called the stroke, and when people are talking about stroke, that's generally that type that they're talking about. There's another type that's a short stroke, or it's called a transient ischemic attack, which means that somebody suffers some form of weakness that they would do in a stroke, but that it resolves on its own within 24 hours. But that's really a warning that they're at a high risk of getting a stroke.
So could people have had a mini stroke and not know it almost?
Almost. So people will be aware that something happened to them, but they don't necessarily realise that it's a stroke. So there's been a bit of kind of work around making people more aware about what to look for if it's to identify a stroke. And even if they have those symptoms, then even if they resolve on their own, resolve quite quickly, they should still see somebody urgently to make sure that they can decrease their risk of having a full stroke.
So what are the telltale symptoms that someone is right now having a stroke?
So there's
because we've seen these ads about FACE,
yes.
Face. I remember seeing it, and it puts it up in stark things what each of those letters stands for.
Yeah, so there's a couple of those acronyms. There's
it's FAST, is it? FAST, yeah.
And that, so the F is for facial weakness. So often people will get a droop on one side of their face
when
they
smile. They might be
drooling.
Or, yes,
exactly,
yes, yeah.
A stands for arms or legs. So the kind of weakness that you were talking about, where you get quite a profound weakness of the arm or the leg, usually on one side of the
body.
It's not
a pain necessarily, like a heart attack. It's just a weakness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sounds horrific, all this, right? I'm squeamish at the best of times, Donna, but anyway, yeah.
And I think they are quite profound, the effect that it has on people. The other thing is slurring of speech or confusion or a lack of balance. And if anybody has those symptoms, then they should get medical attention immediately. They can be treated, but they have to be treated within a few hours of the symptoms arising.
What type of treatment do you get? Oxygen or what? Or like, is it to thin the blood?
Exactly. So it's called the clot-busting drugs, and that's to dispel those clots and get rid of them and reintroduce the blood supply to the brain as quickly as possible.
And is that effective?
Yes. Yes, it has to be early, though. So that's why there's been quite a lot of campaigns around awareness about stroke and getting to treatment
quickly. How
common
is it? That someone will get a stroke?
So it's pretty common. So unfortunately, all of us are at risk of a stroke, and our lifetime risk is about 1 in 6 of us will get a stroke. And in Ireland, 10,000 patients a year have strokes. And at any one time, there's about 30,000 people in Ireland quite severely or fairly disabled from having had a stroke. So stroke prevention is
okay.
Important.
Okay, we come on to prevention and the causes. What age does it usually happen at?
So it's usually in older people. So that's one of the big risk factors. The older we get, we're more likely to get a stroke. But sadly, it does affect people that are younger as well.
Okay, so what causes it?
So there's some of the things that we can't really modify. So our age, family history of having a stroke in the, or having had a stroke yourself in the past all make you at higher risk. But then the modifiable things are things like medical conditions that make you at a higher risk of stroke. So atrial fibrillation and diabetes would be high on that list. And then lifestyle modifications.
What's that, fibrillation?
Atrial fibrillation is when your heart beats irregularly and you get these clots forming in the heart. And that's traditionally...
So you could get a separate diagnosis of whether your heartbeat is regular or irregular?
Yeah. So the most common heart arrhythmia, so the most common irregularity in the heart rhythm is atrial fibrillation.
Right. But could you put me up to a heart monitor right now and it would tell immediately, might never have had a stroke or might never have a stroke, but it would tell you whether you're a risk category because of your heartbeat?
Absolutely. And lots of people, again, with atrial fibrillation don't have any symptoms from it. Some people may be aware of palpitations or irregular heart rate, but most people aren't aware of it. So checks at your GP perhaps are important to pick up that you've got atrial fibrillation so that can be treated.
So I have very high cholesterol but very low blood pressure. What does that mean?
So your blood pressure isn't a risk factor for you getting a stroke.
So high blood pressure is bad, yes.
Yeah. But your cholesterol,
which
is
more serious, the high cholesterol of 7 to 9 or of having high blood pressure, which would be worse?
It depends on how far outside of the norm you are. High blood pressure is usually worse, but a high cholesterol will give you the same thing. So those things need to be modified along with diet, not smoking, exercising, drinking less alcohol.
Just go through those for me. I mean... those are the same things that we talk about for cancer, smoking, exercise, obesity. It seems the same old 2 and 4 pence every time. It's the same thing for strokes, for heart attacks, for cancer, for everything. Is that right?
So they're not all identical, but yes, there's a lot of overlap with it. And certainly smoking is related to a number of those conditions.
How bad is alcohol on the list?
So alcohol in moderation isn't really on the list. It's high
consumption,
it's excessive alcohol intake.
And what's the link between that and a stroke?
So the main link with the excessive alcohol is that you're more likely to get atrial fibrillation. So that condition is linked to a number of things, but one of them is alcohol.
Right. So is it preventable? And also, is it hereditary? If your parents had a stroke, are you more likely?
You're more likely to have a stroke if your parents had a stroke. So if your parents had a stroke, then you should really look at the things that are modifiable in your general lifestyle, but also medically modifiable for you.
And would it ever happen in a child? Get a stroke?
Yes. So the causes for them in children tend to be different than they are in adults. But yes, they can happen in young people at all ages, but much more likely as you're older.
So let's say you have this paralysis down one side and you have a stroke. How recoverable is it?
So as we were talking before, there's the immediate few hours where you can get a really good recovery. If it's later than that, then there's a lot around rehabilitation and rehab an early supported discharge from hospital. So there's beginning to be more focus on that for people and trying to get them back to more independent.
What form does it take? Is it physiotherapy?
Physiotherapy, yeah. And so you kind of say, same.
Is it your right side or your left side?
Both sides. There's okay. No difference. Preference as such.
Okay, so say I've had a stroke and I'm paralyzed down one side of my body. Would the prospects of physio bringing about a good recovery be reasonable?
So there's two different elements to it, or I guess three actually. So one is that trying to get you as much recovery down the side that's been damaged as possible, but then also trying to maximize your other strengths so that you can accommodate for it and you can have aids that will allow you to do things that traditionally you'd be doing with two hands, but perhaps you'll be able to manage with an aid to do with one hand. And then the other one is that if you've had a stroke, you can get problems with muscle shortening and deformity caused by the muscles. And you can have supports and splints to help with that and reduce that
effect. So finally, if there is anyone who is at a risk category, is there any website or leaflets or information you can get on strokes?
So the HSE has a stroke website with it, and it's HSC Stroke. There's also another site which is by the Irish Cardiac Support System, and they have stroke in their website
the Heart Foundation.
As well. Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
All right. Now, that's great. A really, really, really fascinating and, if I may say so, a little terrifying. That is all you ever wanted to know or didn't want to know about strokes, stroke prevention and treatment. My thanks for joining me on the couch today, Donna Eaton, thoracic and lung transplant consultant at The Beacon and The Matter. Thanks, Donna.
Thank you very much, Ivan.
Well done. No problem.